We are doing things just a little bit different this morning, and that's on account of one of our special guests that we have with us this morning. That's Mr. Jace Michael. We are participating in something that many cultures, many churches do, and that is a baby dedication service. I don't like that term, so I came up with my own. It's a celebration. Yeah. Where's my dad at? He said every title, everything can be improved on. I want you to improve on this one. This is a good one, all right? Is it a slide up, Sean? Go to the next slide, see what happens. Yeah, look at that. That is a good title right there. Celebration of God's design for family, right? Because that's what we're talking about this morning. It's not just baby dedication. And Jace gets fussy at the end of the service is what I've heard, or he falls asleep, and then if we wake him up, he will get fussy. So turn your Bible to Psalm 78, and let's do that. We're gonna do things a little bit backwards this morning than what we're normally used to. We'll sing at the end, but in Psalm 78, the Bible gives us some clear instruction, and I want to just cover some of that ground with us this morning. We join in a joyous time in our church. Last week we did baptisms. We left the water still here, and it's warm. Okay, if you want to be baptized. It's clean enough. It's cleaner than the river. We are going to celebrate this morning Danny and Brianna's commitment to God and to Jace to provide a godly home, as well as instruction as to the things concerning the Lord, His Word, and His will. I want to let you know, church, that in participating in this dedication for blessing and a prayer for this family, we follow somewhat loosely the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you a section of Mark's Gospel in the 10th chapter. The Bible says there, then the people brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them coming. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." The Bible says this in verse 16 of that 10th chapter of Mark. He took them up in his arms, he laid hands on them, and he blessed them. Many of the disciples no doubt thought that Jesus was too busy to take the time to be with children. But these parents had witnessed what Christ had done. Perhaps they had heard the things that Jesus had said, and they simply wanted their children to enjoy being in the presence of the Lord. This precious couple that comes to us this morning has made the same desires known to me. They want Jace to enjoy the presence of the Lord in his life as much as possible on their part. And so in participating in this ceremony today, you are all witnesses of Danny and Brianna's confession concerning the life of their son. I won't make you stand up because he looks quite happy there, but you can just stay right there. Throughout the ages, godly parents have presented their children to the Lord in dedication, Hannah being one, the parents of Jesus bringing him to the temple, presenting him at the temple. You follow a noble heritage in presenting Jace to the Lord. You enter into a solemn commitment with God, who keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations, the Bible says. While this dedication is a worthy act, you have to understand that this offers no saving virtue. Dedication does not guarantee Jace's salvation. This requires a personal commitment that each one must make on his own upon reaching the age of awareness and accountability. Salvation is obtained by grace through faith in Christ as personal Savior upon repentance. We do not believe in infant baptism unto salvation. And though the dedication ceremony does not save, it is significant. It is a significant act of faith and declaration of intent by the parents to provide a Christian nurture to their child, believing that this child is a gift from God and knowing that he will hold you accountable for Jace. Do you now solemnly confess in the presence of these witnesses that it is your purpose to dedicate this child to the Lord and to His service. If you understand this charge and agree to this commitment, please say it is. Danny and Brianna, will you pray with Jace and for Jace? Will you strive to instruct him faithfully in the doctrines of the Christian faith according to the Scriptures? And will you teach him to study and read the Word of God on his own? If you understand this charge and agree to this commitment, please say, we will. Will you help him understand God's call to holiness and sanctification and teach him to walk in humility before the Lord always? And will you take him faithfully to the house of God to worship and to submit to other members within the body of Christ? If you understand this charge and agree to this commitment, please say, we will. And finally, Danny and Brianna, will you commit to lead and teach Jace in all the spiritual matters concerning God by example, yielding yourselves first to the Lord's service, living a life of prayer and thankfulness, and study the Word of God intently, individually and as a family, walking in holiness and sanctification yourselves and attending faithfully church services in order to worship God and submit to members within the body? If you understand this charge and agree to this commitment, please say, we will. Do you give these witnesses gathered here today charge to hold you accountable in respect to these commitments you have made? If you understand and agree, please say, we do. Let us hear God's word this morning. This passage is taken from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This passage indicates an importance that should be placed on the Scriptures in your home with your family. Danny, the Bible lays this responsibility upon you as the spiritual leader of your home. You are to strive to grow in your own knowledge and application of the Bible's principles, and then in turn lead your family to follow your pattern of spiritual growth. When we performed your marriage ceremony, I made a statement to you along these lines. Danny, Brianna should know more about the Lord because she knows you. She should be learning to love the Lord more because of your influence. That is no less true when it comes to the life of this child and any children that the Lord sees fit to bless you with in the future. You have a spiritual responsibility to represent God to Jace. Just as you demonstrate the husband that Christ is to the church in your relationship with Brianna, you are also charged to demonstrate the father that God is to his children in your relationship to Jace. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible clearly commands fathers specifically, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Like it or not, God has given you this family not simply for your enjoyment, but He is calling you to spiritual leadership within these two lives right now. He's given you His Holy Spirit and His Word to guide you in this endeavor. Read it, study it, memorize, and obey and apply the Word to your life. Danny, I encourage you to do something that so many in this world as fathers are failing miserably at. Many fathers love their children with an earthly love or a selfish love. I encourage you first to model God's love to your family and then to lead your family to follow God's will by leading them with the example of your own life. Many fathers today in our culture are guilty of leading by their poor example, indicating to their children something that they should not do. I encourage you to be the godly example of what one should do to please the God who made us. Demonstrate to your son the kind of godly love, the kind of godly and loving husband that he should be to his wife. Love your family with a sacrificial and unconditional love so that they and others around you may see a true demonstration of God's love. be encouraged in this journey. And when, notice I said not if, we know the certainty of this statement. Those of us who've been husbands and fathers in this room, we know the certainty of this statement. When you fail and when you fall, confess that sin first to the Lord and then to those whom you have wronged. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. But you need to seek the forgiveness of those you've wronged, even if that means forgiveness from Jace, which is quite humbling. And it's hard to ask a 4 or 5 year old, ask an 11 year old for forgiveness. But it's healthy and necessary for your children to see how to respond to failure. And then choose to get back in line with God's word and leading your family to follow His will. Brianna, God has given you a unique and special desire and gift. That is the desire and gift to be a mother. I know that in our country today, there are many that have shamed that desire and gift to say that women should have the liberty to do whatever pleases them. And in this age of mass gender confusion and really silliness, there would be those who would tell you that these God-given desires should be depressed and discouraged within your soul. That your identity is not wrapped up in your husband or your kids, but your identity is all about you and your choices. And this has led to the slaughter of many children within what should be one of the safest places on the planet for a baby to live, inside the womb. Not only have these philosophies contributed to so many abortions, they have contributed to many a child feeling shunned or unwanted as a mother has sought to fulfill selfish goals, hopes, ambitions, and dreams. I want to say to you today, Brianna, there is no higher calling on a woman's life than to pour into the next generation by birthing and nurturing her children. This is not to say that you won't have other ministries, and this is not to say that you need to disregard your ministry to your husband, but God has given you the desire and opportunity to be a mother. Take advantage of it. While you may not be the spiritual leader of your home, your love and nurture to your husband and subsequently to your children may be the spiritual glue that from time to time holds your home together and strengthens your family to stand on the foundation of Christ. This is demonstrated time and time again in the Scriptures, and I believe it's a worthy calling that God places on the lives of those mothers who will truly take their role seriously in the home. The Bible charges women specifically in 1 Timothy 2:15 to continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. You have no other godly choice than to live in submission to your husband's spiritual leadership and nurture your children in the love and admonition of the Lord. This is the charge. This is the responsibility He's given to you. There will be days where you gladly receive this responsibility, and there will be days when you're tempted to shun the responsibility. I'm asking you, in the presence of these witnesses, live faithfully to your commitment to the Lord by loving your children, not just with a mom kind of love, but demonstrate the same sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonstrate to your son the kind of wife that he should hope that God would provide for him one day. In secular culture, the true family and the true family roles that God has established is threatened by sexual sins and immortal desires such as abortion, same-sex marriages, and now gender identity issues. Brianna, be the godly woman that loves the godly calling of being a mother. Celebrate that God has given you the responsibility to pour into the lives of your family, that in so doing, you are helping to shape the next generation that hopefully will also live holy before the Lord. Again, when, not if you fail, but when you fail, go before the Lord, seek His forgiveness and guidance, and then go before those whom you have wronged, even if it is your children, and example for them the right way to respond to failure. Brianna, fulfill your ministry as Paul commanded Timothy. For as much as Timothy was called to minister and pour into the saints at Ephesus, you too have been called to minister and pour into Jace, helping him grow in his love and devotion for the Lord. Now let me challenge you both once more. Never allow Jace to doubt love in three areas of his life. Number one, never allow Jace to doubt God's love for him. First and foremost, this is most important, that God, you need to let Jace know that God desires that he come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jeremiah and the Apostle Paul were known and purposed by God before he formed them in their mother's womb, so too Jace has a calling on his life. It is extremely important, and especially in this day in which human philosophies are competing against the Lord for the devotion of children, it is up to you to help Jace understand that the love that God has for him and the purpose for which God desires for him. Make every effort to instill this in his heart from this day forward. Secondly, never allow Jace to doubt your love for him. And that doesn't seem like that would be too difficult on a day like today. But I remind you, we cannot necessarily parent from our experience as being parented. We must parent from God's word as he instructs us. For instance, many in this world have had good parents. They might be tempted to say, I'm going to raise my children just like my parents did. After all, I turned out okay, right? And then there would be those who have bad parents that would say, I'm never going to treat my children the way my parents treated me. This is what I call parenting from experience. And it may be positive or negative experience, but this is not the best way to parent. The best way to parent is to follow the instructions given in his word. The Bible says that parents are to teach children to obey. How many of you know you have to teach a kid to obey? My mom raised her hand extra high. They already know how to disobey, don't they? We're born with that knowledge, but you have to teach children how to obey. And the Bible says that if you love your child, you will discipline your child. A child that thinks that he is the center of the home is wrong. And a parent that allows their child to think that he is the center of the home is wrong also. Christ is the center of the home. Everything revolves around him. We know that the key to understand this in our own lives is discipline, self-control. Disciplining ourselves to deny ourselves and follow after Christ. A life without discipline is a self-centered life that leads to sin and ultimately to death. It is imperative for us to understand this. We live in a culture that tells us to be our child's friend. Parents, you're supposed to be your child's friend. You're supposed to let them make up their own minds about God, about religion, about sex and morality. That's contrary to the Word of God. And if you parent like this, the Bible is clear, you do not truly love your child. So never let Jace doubt your love for him by teaching and training him about right and wrong, good and evil, doctrine and discipline. Thirdly, never let Jace doubt your love for each other. I believe that this has led to the severe breakdown of the family in our culture. Kids have seen that marriage is not forever, and thus they have learned by what has been modeled in front of them. Danny, never let Jace doubt that you love his mama. Treat her with respect, love, and kindness. Teach him the way to demonstrate these to his wife appropriately. Brianna, never let Jace doubt that you love his daddy. Submit to your husband. Help Jace understand the value and precious commodity in a godly wife. Help him to understand, as the Proverbs tell us, that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Never let Jace doubt God's love for him, your love for him, and your love for each other. And you know what all of these are wrapped up in? It's the gospel. Give Jace the gospel. and he will understand God's love for him. Give Jace the gospel and he will understand your love for him. Give Jace the gospel and he will understand your love for each other. It's how you react and respond and relate to one another. Your marriage is the picture of Christ and the church. You're to model how God reacts with his children. Give Jace the gospel. Tell Jace, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And even Jace, as beautiful and precious as he is right now, just wait. About 15 years. But even as he's precious right now, Jace has been born with a sin nature. And as he grows, he will need to be made aware of this sin nature and how his sin falls short of the glory of God. And even the payment for his sin is eternal separation from God when he dies. Jace needs to understand about sin. Tell Jace that although his sin deserves God's judgment, that God loves him and sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the ransom for his sin. That Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world so that we might have a relationship with God and eternal life. Tell Jace that in order to have this relationship with God and eternal life, that he needs to come to God in faith. Explain to him that it is impossible to please God without faith, for the person that comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And finally, tell Jace he needs to repent of his sin. He needs to turn away from the sin nature that he was born with and trust God to make him a new creation in Christ. And that he needs to serve God by allowing the indwelling Holy Spirit to guide him through the Word of God. Give Jace the gospel. I've charged you with a lot today. And for many here that are Christians, some would say, well, that's common sense. Well, it might be, but it needs to be said from time to time. And on a day like today, we're reminded of the importance of committing to raise our children for God's glory. Let me close with Psalm 78. I know I've not taken a lot of time to preach this morning, but just to have this opportunity to share with you concerns of the family. And so this is not going to be, you know, expository sermon as you're used to, point number one, point number two, point number three. But this is a special day, one in which we celebrate, first of all, the life that is given from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are a heritage where? From the Lord. And we celebrate that together today. Second of all, we celebrate parents who desire to do right by God. Isn't it refreshing, instead of hearing all the attacks on the family, isn't it refreshing to come to a place where people are committed to do what God wants them to do with their child? Isn't that glorious? It's celebration of God's design for family. But we would be remiss if we came and celebrated some human attempt to commemorate some sentimental or emotional time of going through some ceremony if we did not consider the biblical reasons for doing so. So consider with me Psalm 78. Look at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. How many of you want your children to learn from your mistakes? It's a better education, isn't it, than to have to make the same mistakes you made? That's what this passage is talking about. We want our kids to learn from our mistakes. Look at verse 8. They may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. We don't want them to make that same mistake. So we need to pour into them. We need to invest in them. We need to invest in the lives of our children. Is that imperative for us in today's times? I mean, there are some people who say, you know, the Bible's not relevant. I think it is. We don't want our kids to make the same mistake. Two questions this passage answers for us when it comes to investing in the lives of our children. First is how, and the second question is why. Notice how we are instructed to invest in our children's lives. Number one, it concerns truth. Look at the scriptures. Verse 5. The Bible says that God established a testimony in Jacob. This is what God has done. These are the works of God. And then at the end of that verse, he appointed a law in Israel. This is what God has said. So what God has done, what God has said. That's what we're to share with our children. We remind our children of what God has done. That's the testimony. But we show our children how that lines up with what God has said. That's the truth. Jesus is praying to the Father in John 17, and he prays these words, "Father, sanctify your disciples by your truth." And then he says, "Your word is truth." That little boy needs to know the word of God. That's the only source of objective truth that we have on the planet. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You see, the works of God are to help us understand the importance of obedience to God's commandments. We only know about God what he chooses to reveal to us about himself. His works and his law are revelation about him, his nature, his character. If we desire our children to know, love, and serve God, then we must invest in them with his truth and our testimony that's founded in his truth. Secondly, how are we to invest in our children? Using the truth of the revelation of God as much as we have. But there's something else. If our children do not see how the truth impacts our own lives, it is highly less likely that they will accept God's truth as their truth. This is the power of a testimony. The second way we can invest in our children's life is testimony. In verse 1, Asaph, the choir director, says, "Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." Telling our children of the works of the Lord, stories of God's victories and God's judgment through the years. Look at verse 4. We will not hide them from their children. Telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength. There is a sad, sad verse at the beginning of the book of Judges. I think it's at the end of chapter 2. But it says, "Then rose a generation who forgot the works of the Lord." What a sad testimony for those parents. Parents, tell your children the works of God. And tell your children the works of God in your life. And then demonstrate those works. Spend time talking about the impact the Lord has made in your life. And this testimony has to go beyond our words, doesn't it? Our children need to see that the impact the Lord makes in our lives. They need to see the priority that God's Word holds in our lives. They need to see you opening the book, studying the book, memorizing the book. There was a father that said to his son, "Hey, son, you better get ready. The bus is coming by to pick you up for Sunday school. You need to get dressed." The boy asked his father, he said, "Did you go to Sunday school when you were a kid? When you were growing up?" The father said, "Yes, I did." Puffed his chest out with pride. "Yes, certainly I did, son." In completely innocent and honest moment, the boy said as he was getting dressed, "Well, it probably won't do me any good either." The power of a testimony. And that testimony occurs when our actions match what we say. So that's the how question. Now, real quick, before Jace wakes up. Why? Why do we need to invest in our children? Would you look at the beginning of verse 7? That they, our children, may set their hope in wealth. may set their hope in education, may set their hope in people, the government. No, we teach them God's truth. We live the testimony so that they will set their hope in God and in God alone. There is no hope for that young man outside of God. You know why? People let you down. The government will let you down. Materialism will let you down. Education will fail you. But God will never fail. Boy, it drives me nuts to see the emphasis that even godly parents put on education. Want my kids to go to college so they can get a good job, so they can get a degree, so you get lots of money, so they can advance in this world. Baloney! You want your kid to come to know Christ and do His will, even if that's in Myanmar in Southeast Asia. God can use anybody, anywhere. You say, well, you don't believe in education. It's not that education is bad. No, the most important thing, though, is God. What does He have for me? When I was working at New Hope Christian School, we did a survey. We had a Sunday where we did Christian School Day. Remember that? Everything was focused on the Christian school. And we took money up for the Christian school. And we preached a message about Christian education. This and we did a survey prior to this day that was coming up. We sent out a survey and we asked parents, what's the number one goal for your child's education? What's the number one educational goal you have for your child? You know what it said? Go to college. You don't want your child to know Christ? You see, as it is here, it was there. Many of the students who attended our Christian school didn't go to church. They didn't have any Christian influence. They just sent them because of the academics. The number one goal for your child is to know Christ. Chase, meet Jesus. That's the power of a testimony. Now, I've charged the parents together. I've charged Danny and Brianna individually. Now I want to challenge you, the congregation. As a local body of believers, we bear responsibility to this family. Will you pray for this family? Encourage them as they grow together. Lovingly hold them accountable when it is necessary. And do all that is in your power to assist Jace in coming to Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. If you understand this charge and agree to uphold this commitment, will you say, we will? That's our commitment to one another in the body of Christ. See, people who don't belong to the body don't have that. They don't have that love and encouragement and support. These people have humbled themselves and brought their little boy and said, we want God to use him. We know it's going to take work on our part. But they brought him to us, and they're saying to us, it's going to take work on your part too. Be encouraged together. I'm going to ask Danny and Brianna to join me on stage. Will you please stand, and we're going to pray a prayer of commitment. Lord God, as I look in this baby's sweet, smiling face, happy face, I think about the dangers that this world holds for him. And I think about the struggles that these parents are going to have over the course of the next 18 or 20 years. And I pray even now, Lord, that you would use this as an opportunity in Jesus' life to bring him back to the calling you have placed upon him. God, that somehow you would shield him from as many dangers as possible, but the temptations you and trials you allow him to endure may make him stronger in his faith. And that, Lord, these parents would grow in their own faith and that they would pass that down to their son. That they would always be careful to teach Jace the works of the Lord. And that they would demonstrate in their own lives purity, holiness, and sanctification as a model to this young man. and that he grows as he grows, Lord, and as he develops into the human being that you want him to be, the man that you want him to be. Lord, I pray that you would guide him and that your Holy Spirit would be upon him. Lord, we know that this doesn't mean that he's saved and that he's delivered from his sinful nature, but we know, God, that we're stepping in the right direction when we ask you to bless this child with your presence. We ask you to guide these parents with your Holy Spirit. And we ask as the church body together that you would help us to love and support this family in every endeavor of raising this child as it is appropriate and as love demands it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's sing to God.